Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
There's some things to do for the Cleveland Browns. One week into free agency. Let's get some thoughts on all this as we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's our buddy from the Chronicle Telegram, covers the Browns, brownszone.com, where you can read all of his coverage. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Scotty. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
We're looking forward to talking to Kenny Pickett today. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, that'll be good. Myles Garrett spoke on Friday. Did you listen and think, okay, now I completely understand why you're back, Miles? Or did you listen and think, I thought you wanted to compete for Super Bowls?
Yeah, I guess it was more the latter. I didn't think there was any great explanation from Miles. He talked about better communication with the organization. He talked about the frustration dissipating since the end of the season and when he wrote, when he did the public trade request and how that's faded some since the end of the season, and a greater trust in Andrew Berry to get this team to be a contender. He didn't put any kind of timetable on that, and I think there is a realization that that might not be 2025, but hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. To me, it was just the reality of the situation that Miles realized he was not going to be traded. The Browns weren't going to do that. So how do you proceed from there? Do you try to sit out? Do you force, do you hold out into September, sit out games, and really try to force a hand? Or do you make the best of the situation? And I do believe him when he says he's always wanted to win a championship here. I mean, he's told me that time after time. So I don't think it was a huge switch that he had to make in his head. He just had to get over the disappointment and frustration of 3-14, and then say, okay, I can be optimistic again. I can buy the plan to find a quarterback that he's talked about with Andrew Berry many times. And then you get the giant contract extension, and okay, that can get me back to where I need to be from a mind frame standpoint and come back to Cleveland.
How important do you think it is to him for them to draft? I mean, just knowing that it's so heavy, or maybe go out in free agency and making sure they have someone that can balance out the line again for him to give him success?
On that defensive front?
On the defensive end line.
Yeah. I mean, I think it probably helps that they did sign two guys in free agency, right? They haven't been real active, but two of the guys were on the defensive line, Joe Tryon, Troy Aikman, Malik Collins. I think that helps, but I also think Miles looks at himself and goes, hey, if I'm on this defense, then we're going to be good, and there's something to be said for that. A lot of his comments were about the offense and how is the Browns going to figure out the offense, how are they going to be better on that side of the ball, because I think he has all the confidence in the world in himself and his teammates, and a lot of the defensive guys are coming back. Denzel Ward, and looks like Ober Okoronkwo is going to come back, and Alex Wright, and Grant Delpit, and I think he looks at that and he looks at Jim Schwartz and say, we're going to be fine on defense. And defense wasn't the biggest problem in 2024. It was, what are they going to do on offense? And that's what he's trusting Andrew Berry to fix. And there's still a lot of questions over there. You guys mentioned it. I mean, they have Kenny Pickett, but we don't know who's going to start at quarterback. They haven't upgraded at receiver or running back or tight end yet, and there's a lot of questions on that side of the ball.
Are you surprised they haven't added anybody at running back or wide receiver or tight end yet? Because there have been some wide receivers especially who have signed with other teams and who look like guys you thought wouldn't be bad to add them to the group.
That's the one position, Jeff. Running back and tight end, I think, are so deep in this draft, and I think the Browns need to get younger at both those spots, that I didn't think they'd be big players in free agency at running back and tight end. Receiver, I kind of feel like they can improve that position through free agency. And so, yeah, a little bit surprised that they haven't done anything yet, but it's been a weird free agency, I think, at receiver. There's still a bunch of guys out there. You know, Elijah Moore's still out there. Just talking about guys who played with the Browns. Yep. Elijah Moore's still out there. Amari Cooper's still out there. You know, Tyler Lockett, the Seahawks cut him. You know, he's had a really good career. Brandon Cooks has had a solid career in this league. So there's guys out there still. And I feel now is when you can get one of those guys maybe on a one-year deal and for cheap money. And I think that's probably what Andrew Berry is looking for the whole time. And I think there are still several guys that could come in and improve and be upgrades right away that they can sign, whether it's this week or next week or wherever. They got plenty of time. But I think there's plenty of candidates out there.
Are you hearing any rumblings on Nick Chubb? There were a couple stories that I read that, you know, maybe the Steelers, maybe the Bears. But it also doesn't seem like the Browns are totally out of it. So what do you think on Nick Chubb?
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Steelers popping up, and I think that just goes back to Mike Tomlin has been effusive in his praise of Chubb, you know, every time he talks about him twice a year. So I think it's an easy connection. They did not bring back Najee Harris, so there's an opening there. But I think the deeper we get into this, and you know how free agency is like, I don't know if it's dog years or the opposite of dog years, but it's only been a week, right? And it feels like a month.
Like
12 weeks, right? Yeah. So, you know, Nick Chubb has not signed anywhere, and I don't think that should be a surprise, but I also think the longer it goes, the greater chance there is for him to come back to the Browns. We do see a lot of the bigger deals signed early, and I didn't expect Nick Chubb to get a big deal early, but that's when a team makes a commitment early, and I think the longer you get away from, you know, March 14th or March 12th, whenever free agency started, then you know, it doesn't feel the same. You know, you can still sign, you can still be big signings. I remember Jadeveon Clowney and the Browns did it, but it just feels like if somebody really wanted Nick Chubb, you could make a splash. And the longer you get away from that, it feels like, okay, he's going to be a role player. And then it becomes, does he want to be a role player in Cleveland or does he want to go somewhere and get a fresh start? Because I don't think anybody is signing Nick Chubb and saying, you're our number one back. I just don't think you can do that coming off. He had the knee injury and the broken foot and how he played last year, you know, 3.3 yards a carry. And I think it's just going to be a question of, okay, does Chubb want to go in and try to earn carries with the Browns or earn carries somewhere else? And I think that's a decision he's going to have to make for himself.
Scott Petrak joining us from BrownZone.com, covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Kenny Pickett joining us later on today, 1 o'clock for that. And he said in his introductory meeting with the media, Browns told me I would have a chance to compete, and that's all he wanted. And I get that, and I understand that, and I think, great. You know, I think it's ludicrous for anybody to count anybody out, especially a guy who, you know, has started games in the league in this division, had some nice moments in fourth quarter and comebacks and everything else. All that said, he's not plan A, I wouldn't think, Scott. Is he plan B or is he plan C?
I think he's plan C, Jeff, but I also think that depends on a little bit of how the rest of free agency plays out. Okay. If it's, you know, and the draft, there's so many pieces to this puzzle or moving pieces to this puzzle that I could see Russell Wilson, Shedeur Sanders, and Kenny Pickett being three quarterbacks. I could also see it being Shedeur Sanders, Joe Flacco, and Kenny Pickett, or Russell Wilson, Kenny Pickett, and Kyle McCord. And depending on who those three guys are, Pickett fits differently. You know, if it's Kyle McCord is the rookie and they have Russell Wilson, then I think Pickett slots in there as your number two. I think it's different if you take a quarterback at number two. And then it's different depending on who your next veteran is. You know, if it's Joe Flacco, is it, you know, is it Trey Lance? Then all of a sudden Kenny Pickett's probably above Trey Lance. So I just think there's a lot to be determined there. You know, he was adamant that he was promised that he could compete for the starting job, not just compete, but compete for the starting job.
Right.
And I get that, but I also know if you draft a guy number two, the dynamics change. I also think if you sign Russell Wilson, who's done nothing but start in his career and is a 9- or 10-time Pro Bowler and won 122 games in a Super Bowl, the reality suggests that you might be able to compete for it, but you're not going in as the favorite to win that job. So I think there's a lot of question marks there, but I also think that the Browns upgraded over DTR with the trade for Kenny Pickett. I don't have any question about that. And I think there's something to be said for taking a chance on a guy that was a former first-round pick. I know it was a bad quarterback draft when he was a first-round pick in, but he's still a first-round pick.
I agree with you on that. Is this any possibility? They'd take a quarterback at two, then come back and take another guy, say, I wouldn't think in the second round, but maybe in the third, and that Pickett is your number two quarterback behind with two rookies, you know, behind the number two, whoever you take, Ward or Sanders, you would assume, and then he is the veteran in that quarterback group, and they don't bring in another veteran quarterback?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
I mean, I wouldn't totally rule that out, but I don't think that's the plan. I think the plan is to bring in another veteran. Now, if, you know, Russell Wilson and Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston and everybody else sign somewhere else, then maybe you recalibrate and that becomes the plan. But I think right now the plan is to find another veteran quarterback and then add one draft pick.
And when we look at these draft picks, is your order of looking at their needs, has that changed at all over the last couple of weeks? Or just if you can define it outside of quarterback, you know, define the needs and just define those needs.
Yeah, I don't think it really has changed. I would say, you know, like the Joe Tryon-Choyunka signing and the Malik Collins, and even if you want to say Cornelius Lucas, you go, okay, well, it maybe lessens the need at defensive line and left tackle or tackle, right, because he's going to be your swing guy or can be your swing guy. But I don't think any of those guys keeps you from drafting Abdul Carter at number two. Or if you trade down, drafting a left tackle at number five or six or wherever that would be, or at number 33. So I think these moves give Andrew Berry flexibility heading into the draft, and I think that's what he's done in a lot of his free agencies. But if you're going just what needs are, I mean, I think it starts at quarterback. I would say I think they still need a left tackle. I do. Maybe they're convinced that DeJuan Jones is the guy. I still think they need a left tackle, running back, tight end. And I think they could still use some depth along the defensive front. You know, whether that's, I would say, more D-tackle than D-N, because right now I think you got probably four or five D-Ns that they think they can count on. But another D-tackle, I think, would help. And then safety. They need a starting safety somewhere. And I think that could be a move that still comes in free agency. But if not, then it has to be addressed in the draft.
Scott, thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Maybe you'll have something big to write about today. Maybe the Browns do something. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, we'll see. Thanks, fellas.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, BrownZone.com, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. A couple things that I thought were really interesting. Little thing. Miles Sanders signs with Dallas at running back.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed Javonte Williams earlier in free agency. So Dallas brings in a couple of running backs and still might draft one. And then yesterday, I thought it was the big news. Joe Burrow in Cincinnati had said, hey, got to have Ja'Marr Chase. You got to pay the guy.
He has really stood by his guys.
And really want T. Higgins. T's really good and blah, blah, blah. And I want him back too. And by God, the Bengals brought him back. Both of them. And they're paying him a lot of money, Andy. And I thought, that's the way you capitalize on your main asset. You have Joe Burrow. He's your main asset in Cincinnati. Now, Trey Hendrickson, you know, is looking for more money, but he's still under contract for another year. So Trey's looking for more money. But, and I get that. But you now have Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins as the big trio on offense for the Cincinnati Bengals. And I'll say good for the Bengals and bad for other teams in the AFC North. I mean, that trio will win a lot of games for you and keep you in a lot of games.
I don't know. If you're Justin Jefferson, are you going back? You're like, hey, can I get some extra cash here?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean,
he's making $35 million. That's a lot of money.
I know, but I mean, He's not the highest paid non-quarterback in the league.
Yeah, but do you put a clause in your contract? Hi, I would like to always be top three paid.
Can they do that?
Yes, there have been contracts like that.
Yeah, I like
quarterback
that.
Contracts.
How about number one paid?
Been written like
I would always want to be number one paid.
What's it tell you about the Bengals? Anything? Does it change your does it change your opinion?
Look, knowing what happened to them last season and watching their defense fail them time in and time out, right? I mean, that's why they didn't succeed, because of their defense.
I would agree.
So if you've got that great offense and you're willing to commit to it without trying to spread the wealth over to the defense financially, now I don't know. I won't count Cincinnati out. It's just it's hard. Even with that trio, great quarterback, two unbelievable wide receivers, their problem is Baltimore's still in the way. Baltimore is still in the way. And I don't know, maybe is this the time where Cincinnati just kind of busts through and leads the pack for the next couple of years? The one thing that impressed me was that, you know, we've sat here time and time again and said, well, I think the reason the Bengals, we can count them out or think that they're going to be with the Browns in the standings is because they just don't spend the money. But I think those days, you think they're over? Bengal fans got to feel good. Bengal fan has to feel good about the fact that Mike Brown decided to spend some money this time around.
Wouldn't it be stunning if they are able to sign and keep Trey Hendrickson? See, that one will really push me over the top. But I think offensively, they did a really good thing. They have Chase Brown at running back, who they drafted fifth or sixth round last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not costing them anything. And they brought back Samaje Perine, and he didn't cost them a ton. So, you know, they're playing the, we can put a running back in there and they can run the football and do a nice job for us without having to spend a ton of cash. So I get that. One thing that's a little concerned for me here, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Higgins and Chase back together in Cincinnati. Okay, that's significant.
Okay. Yeah.
Baltimore has Zay Flowers, who's did a really nice job. Rashad Bateman finally started to find himself last year at wide receiver, I think. He looks like he's not going to be a bust. I thought he did a nice job late. And they brought in DeAndre Hopkins, who's not what he used to be, but can still help. And so I think they have a really nice trio of wide receivers in Hopkins, Bateman, and Flowers. The Bengals have a young guy, Jermaine Burton, who came from Alabama and was kind of a knucklehead, had some issues off the field, but is supposed to be a really talented guy. He could be their third guy there, and that could help them a lot. And we'll see what happens there. The Steelers bring in DK Metcalf at wide receiver. At least for now, still have George Pickens.
Yeah.
And you see where I'm going here. They also have Roman Wilson, who they brought in last year, who they like, who didn't do much last year.
Can I go to Berea? Should I open up the cupboard? Are we looking at there? Or?
You got Jerry Jeudy. You got Cedric Tillman, who's had like five good games.
You're hoping.
And I like Cedric. And he was really good with Jameis. And he was really good. But then he had the concussion. And we, you know. And then they have a bunch of guys that you think, okay, well, who else are we going to add? And so that's kind of an interesting. I just think the wide receivers are lacking. And as the other teams in the division either add or re-sign. You know, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins comes to this division. DK Metcalf comes to this division. And the Bengals keep T. Higgins in this division. And the Browns are sitting there looking for wide receivers.
Who's left?
There are some guys out there who could still help you. And Scott Petrak talked about some of those. We're going to dig into this coming up at noon. I heard our buddy Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk say something really that I thought was really interesting. And I think it could involve the Browns down the road here. And he was talking about the quarterback position, and he was doing it on his website with Michael Holly, by the way, local guy. Michael used to work for the Beacon Journal and a longtime Boston guy now. And Florio said this, and he used Seattle as one example of it, but then talked about others. And he said, Geno Smith went to Seattle, found himself, you know, basically salvaged his career and played very well for Seattle. And then they wanted to talk to him about a contract, and his representation came out with, starting salary in the 40s, $40 million a year for Geno Smith. And Seattle's thought was, and Florio was great when he summed it all up. He said, Geno, thank you. You did a great job for us. Good luck to you. And we'll go find somebody else who we think can play as well as you did and not have to pay him nearly the guaranteed money that you're looking for. They did that with Sam Darnold. And according to details that have come out now, Seattle can get out of that contract after 1 year at a cost of like $37 million. That's if they want to get out. So they've kind of not rented a quarterback for a year, but kind of hedged their bet. You know, they didn't have to guarantee Sam all kinds of big money that Geno wanted. And then Florio said this, it's only a matter of time, and you know, maybe the Browns might have done this with Baker, where, hey, you did a nice job for us, but we don't think you're worth all of this money moving forward. And so thank you for your 5 years here as a first-round draft choice. We're moving on to a next guy who we think can do a really solid job and not have to pay him the $60 million a year, the $50 million a year.
You're saying almost like running back philosophy?
Kind of. It's still quarterback, and you're still going to pay him a lot of money. I mean, yeah. Sam Darnold's not—he's not going to be, you know, filing for food stamps, right?
No, I don't think so.
Sam's doing just fine, but it's the—we're not going to give you the $250 or $300 million because we think we can find someone for $40 million guaranteed who can play quarterback as well as you did.
So here comes
Andy. You only need 32 of them. But we know what an issue it's been here.
I don't know. Do you need 64 in a 17-game, 18-game season?
Yeah, but you're not going to find 64 who play at that same level.
Again, so now do you walk away from a guy who can play at that level? That's where I think you're playing a dangerous game. Because how many times have we sat here and said, you know what, he's the man, and he's the man. You just got to pay him. You got to move forward because it's hard to find the man.
Yeah.
And especially here in Cleveland. But we haven't found the man.
But let me throw this one at you. How many guys at that position play above heads and shoulders everybody else?
Five or six,
yeah. And if you don't have one of those guys, do you need to be paying some, like Dak Prescott's making, $60 million?
But how do you
That's
know?
That's good, but is he that good?
But what happens when you think you have a five or six,
I know.
And then you hand Deshaun the contract?
Yeah, I know.
Right?
Well, you...
We thought we had it.
You thought you had it.
We thought we had a five or six here, and
but
we didn't.
Let that be a cautionary tale maybe to other teams in the NFL. And maybe that's part of this. You know? Maybe. I think your number is right on the money. There are five, six, maybe seven guys who you think you should be paying extraordinarily high amounts of money to. And other than that, you know, like Trevor Lawrence. Why are you paying Trevor Lawrence all that money? And I like Trevor Lawrence. But I wonder if the quarterback position becomes that, where, hey, if you don't jump to the top of the heap, you're not getting that second contract from us. Good luck. You can go get it somewhere else, and we'll go find somebody else. You know, like if the Browns are holding out for Kirk Cousins in some kind of a trade or something, well, you might be able to get him, you know, reasonable, because the Falcons already paid him the big money last year.
I don't even know, Jeff. Is five or six even being generous in that situation? I'm going to give you, like, NFL.com ranked all the quarterbacks coming out. Right. You tell me. Lamar Jackson, slam dunk, right?
All right. Let's figure out where you stop as far as this guy's worth all that cash.
Okay. You want to do that when we come back here in a second?
Yeah, let's do it when we come back.
Okay.
Yep, and that's coming up. Baskett and Phelps right here on the Fan. Don't worry. Kenny Pickens, 1 o'clock. Can't wait to talk to him. Maybe one day he'll get to that top of that heap. Yes, we'd all be surprised, but hey, he sounds pretty determined, doesn't he? So you never know. Kenny Pickett, new Browns quarterback, coming up. Anxious to talk to Kenny. I'm not ruling out the idea that he plays some significant football for the Browns this coming season.
I'm not either.
And that might not be a bad thing.
I mean, he might only get two starts. He may get 15 starts. Who knows? Who
Very
knows?
True.
I mean, we've been watching this since 99. You never know. The question is he going to be quarterback? Sorry, is he going to be quarterback? What are we up to, 40? Is he going to be quarterback starter number 41, 42, 43?
I'm more curious as to where he slots in on this team.
Well, that would...
Yeah, I wonder, you know, and Scott laid it out really, really well. When we talk to him, we're gonna rehear some of that stuff coming up in a little bit.
As long as if they don't draft a quarterback at two, he'll slot in.
He's the backup quarterback.
He'll slot in with an opportunity to win and two. I think the other part of it is, do they bring in another quarterback who's like equal to him, or do they bring in somebody else who's, you know, hey, this guy's clearly the starter?
Well, and remember, the Browns are not afraid to trade quarterbacks at the end of the preseason, you know?
Never.
We've seen that before. So let's just say they bring in Russell Wilson. Jameis comes back. Aaron Rodgers.
If Jameis comes back, is it a competition? I say yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay, it's a competition, yeah. And then the loser probably gets traded.
Yeah.
I would think.
It also depends on how much guaranteed money they want to bring in a free agent.
And I think if they get Cam Ward at two, or if they draft Shedeur Sanders at two, then I think all of a sudden you've got something else that guy's going to be your starter. So, and it wouldn't be too long. Anyhow, Kenny Pickett's coming up at 1 o'clock. Anxious for that.
All right, you want to play this game?
Yeah, I threw out some thoughts from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk last segment. And I thought Mike, you know, we're lucky enough that Mike likes being on our show from time to time. And so we were lucky enough to have him with us. And he said something on his website in a video with Michael Holly, former Beacon Journal reporter. And he said, The Seattle Seahawks, great example of, hey, Gino, thank you. You did a really nice job for us. We're not going to pay you what you're looking for. Good luck. We'll find somebody else a little more affordable for us who we think can play at the same level.
Yep.
And Florio threw out, you know, maybe it's the beginning of, and Baker might have fit in with this too, we don't want to give you the top dollar just because you happen to be our quarterback. Just because you're our quarterback doesn't mean you're one of the best quarterbacks. And we can find someone else who can play at the same level as you and not have to pay you $55 million a year and guarantee you $150 million. I think there's a lot of validity to that. I think maybe, Andy, you said five or six.
Yeah, like right off the top of our head, we just both immediately
right about that number
went to five or six.
That there are that many guys who, yep, they're better than everybody.
Yeah, I'm super interested when I say one of these names to
might
hear your
be
reaction.
Able to go to 10.
All right, you want to go through this?
Right, and
this
remember, there are 32 teams. That's 32 starting quarterbacks.
Right, so this is from NFL.com. We'll do 15.
You're ready? Working your way from the top to the bottom? Or
I'm going to start at the top.
Until I think we find a spot? One. Okay, go ahead.
Where we should stop, right. Okay?
Are these guys worth paying the top dollar
to? Yeah, some of these are just easy. Like Lamar Jackson. This is, again, NFL.com.
Yep.
He was number one last year. Well, let me see here. Just double checking.
These are rankings, not salary. Is that correct?
Yeah, hang on. Let me just triple check. I had this in front of me. I just want to make sure that everything is good. Okay, Nick Shook did these.
You,
okay?
you got the little music in, so you got to get.
Well, I just, you know, sometimes you pull
can't
up a story.
List music without a list.
Well, I know you pull up a story and you're like, I better make sure I've got this date correct. So this was published February 13th, 2025.
Okay? We'll get it fixed.
Guys, want to make sure. Okay.
There are 10 guys, by the way.
Once we turn
to
the new year,
overthecap.com. That are making over $50 million a year.
Okay, so let's do it my way, and then I'll look at your way, too.
No, I'll just throw in some money figures.
Lamar Jackson was number one, is still number one.
In rankings.
In rankings. That's slam dunk, right? That's easy.
Averages 52 mil.
The next one, Josh Allen, that's easy, right?
Yeah.
Was number two, is number two.
Yep, 55 mil.
Number three, very, very simple. Although his final ranking, because he was hurt the year before, was 16. He now lands himself in the number three spot, and that is Mr. Joe Burrow.
55 mil.
Right?
Yep.
All right, here's another one. When you talk about the top five quarterbacks, five. Jared Goff was four, is four. Is he worth it? Wow.
He's making $53 million. I say yes because that offense cooks. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. As much as I say Josh Allen, I say Jared Goff,
too. I do pause. Josh Allen's a better quarterback than Jared.
I know.
Like Josh Allen.
I like Josh Allen more today than I did 2 years ago.
You don't like Josh Allen.
Ask me after this season. Because you took Ben Johnson away from him?
Yeah.
I wonder what this looks like. Ask me after this season.
Okay. So
far, we haven't found a clunker.
No.
We have four guys that you'd pay big money to.
Jaden Daniels. He has him ranked at number 5. Now he's on a rookie contract.
Yeah,
so.
This is the beauty of what Florio talked about.
Yeah.
You've got a guy who they think is a top 10 quarterback already. He's making $9.4 million. That's why you make hay while the sun's shining on those rookie quarterback contracts.
All right, here's the big one. He ranked in at number 11 last year. He's now number 6. You know him. You love him. Maybe. His name is Baker Mayfield. And according to NFL.com, he is the 6th ranked quarterback in the NFL. Is that where you're stopping? Because I'll leave Baker there.
Ranking, I disagree with. Pay, I agree with. Baker's making $33 million a year. And he got paid, but he got that kind of contract that Florio's talking about. Hey, we don't think that you're a $55 million a year quarterback, but we're gonna make you and your kids and their kids pretty wealthy. Here's $33 million. And Baker is right in the middle of the pack in pay for starting quarterbacks. And that's, I think, where he should be. He is not one that I would give the big-time money to.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is he trending upward or downward?
He's not trending at all.
He's got all these guys kind of moved. He jumped up 5 spots, Jeff, in this.
What are you, Casey Kasem?
Yeah, I am.
I honestly think this might be the answer. I'm not playing this as a joke when it comes to what direction Baker's trending.
Trending appropriately.
Like, that's kind of how I feel about it.
So
like,
does he jump into the top 5 next year? I think he's got the potential to.
I don't. He's the 18th highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Well, he might
and
get
I think
more.
That's about where he should be making his money. I think that's about where he is.
I don't know.
If you close your eyes, can you see Baker Mayfield win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No.
I can.
I cannot.
I can. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, but I can see Baker winning a Super Bowl. As long as he's got Chris Godwin's and Mike Evans around him, sure.
I have a friend who says, don't forget, Mike Evans won Johnny Manziel a Heisman.
Mm-hmm. Turned him into a first-round pick.
Okay. Well, if you've got him, then I can envision it. Let's go to the next one. This, to me, is he dropped down 4. He's down 4 spots in the rankings, according to the Shookie Cookie. He is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he makes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's easy.
That's silly. By the way, Mahomes.
But he's behind Baker Mayfield.
Mahomes is way down on the money list, too. He only makes $45 million a year.
Wow. What a bargain. It's not easy being green, is it?
I guess the thing to really look at is guaranteed, but that's average per year.
That was good stuff, man. You guys.
Yeah, I heard you.
It's not easy being green.
Matt Stafford at 8. He was 5 the year before.
Yeah, he's still a big-time quarterback, but he's down on the money list a little bit, too. He's at $40
million. He's in the same boat as Jared Goff? Would you give him the same boat or no?
Now, yeah. Matthew is a better quarterback, I think, than Jared Goff.
Interesting one here. Jalen Hurts, number 9. Up from 14.
Dude just won a Super Bowl. Pay him.
Pay him? Pay the man?
He makes good money.
Yeah.
He's at $51 million.
He's
one of those guys above 50.
Here's your guy coming in at number 10. Jordan Love was 12 the year before.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Jordan Love can sling it. I think give him another year and let's see what this looks
trending
like.
Trending appropriately.
He's tied for the second highest average salary per year, $55 million.
Mm-hmm. Overpaid?
Yeah. Right now he is.
Well,
But he's the type of guy you invest in.
It's the world you're living in, sadly.
Yeah, he's the type of guy you invest in. You don't let him walk because you think you can find somebody else.
Exactly.
That's the criteria, Andy. Do you let him walk or do you pay him? You pay Jordan Love.
That's the thing you're running into with this is you start getting on that list.
Right.
And it's like, okay, is it better than the alternative?
Justin Herbert?
I love him.
I would pay Justin Herbert all day, every day.
And I know you're not a Justin Herbert fan. I love him. So does Dan. $52.5 million.
Maybe I just don't pay enough attention to him. I just don't feel it. He was 17, ranked 11. And then this is where I think the line is. But It's interesting. At number 12, he had Geno Smith. And he was up from 19.
I think the Seahawks made the right move.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Because at number 13, it's Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
His ranking at the end of the season in 2023, you want to guess?
You want to 37.
Talk about a, you want to talk about a mover and a shaker?
37.
55.
Oh, so that you, was two, wrong. You two are believers in Sam Darnold more than I am. I would take, I'm not. Geno,
no,
I would take
I'm not.
Geno over Sam Darnold all day, every day.
I would, no, I would not. I would not pay Sam Darnold $50 million a year. See, so... You know I have the back bedroom for him.
I'm very well aware he's in the Oscar Gonzalez.
I would not pay him $50 million a year. I think the Seahawks got him at a pretty good price.
I wouldn't either. I am fascinated to see what he looks like this year.
Yeah, might be a very different looking football player.
One of the biggest losers in the Shooky Cookie Cole poll from NFL.com, Brock Purdy, drops from 14 to 7. That's a no, right?
Drops from 14 to 7?
I'm sorry. From 7 to 14.
I'd still pay Brock Purdy. I think Brock Purdy can sling it.
I think he's good. I'm not paying him.
Do you see Brock Purdy winning a Super Bowl? Close your eyes.
Yes.
Yes.
In that organization.
Hell, I saw him play in a Super Bowl.
I'll give you that.
I'm not paying him 50 mil, though.
Here's another one that's weird. I'll give 15 and we'll stop there. C.J. Stroud. When he beat the Browns in the playoffs a year ago, everyone was ready to say, he's it. Let's go. Let's go.
He's on his rookie contract. When his rookie deal comes up, he's going
to
be what?
Let's say you had to pay it today. Let's say you had to pay it off today. Would you?
I don't have to.
It's hypothetical.
I would pay him. I'd pay him.
You pay him? I think I'd pay him too.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. There's your top 15 guys.
All right. So see, there's that little exercise.
That was kind of fun.
There just aren't that many guys. Maybe 10.
Did you say you would pay Baker or you wouldn't? I just want to make sure.
No, I pay him what? 33 mil? Yeah. Because that's okay for a quarterback.
But you can't envision him winning a Super Bowl.
No. I think Baker is a very competent NFL quarterback. And I think he was better than that this year. But I'm not paying him 50 million a year.
So you'd let him go. He's the Sam Darnold world for you, right?
He's in the Sam Darnold, Geno Smith category to me. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Don't get mad at me, people. Sorry, I'm allowed to have an opinion.
No one. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
You act like you have a radio show.
One week into free agency. Have the Browns improved themselves? You might, after we do what we're going to do next, you probably will say no. Mm. Mm. It's coming up on Baskin and Phillips. And don't forget, 1 o'clock, Kenny Pickett, new Browns quarterback.